Hi, everyone. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Thursday, April 5th. What a crazy afternoon. The show is supposed to go up a little bit earlier today. However, a lot of wildness happened this afternoon with Conor McGregor busting in the UFC 223 media day with a group of 20 to 30 guys, apparently, and did some raised some hell, Steve Austin-style backstage, throwing bike racks, throwing chairs at vans, and potentially injuring Michael Chiesa as of 4 o'clock Eastern. Not sure what his status is right now, but there's a story up at WrestlingObserver.com that I wrote earlier today. It's been updated probably about five or six times already with video and news and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, so I want to kind of add a preface to this interview because it helped me kind of preview the show and talk about a lot of other things. The one and only TJ DeSantis. TJ is the voice of Invicta Fighting Championships as well as a slew of other fighting groups on UFC Fight Pass and other places. So TJ and I talked on Wednesday night about UFC 223 and also about Between Rounds Radio, a new Patreon-funded project that he and Jack Encarnacio started. Essentially, it's like the new version of Sure Dog Radio. A lot of the shows that you listen to there are now this new Between Rounds, and they're actually having a free week, which we talk about here. So you can get that at patreon.com/betweenrounds, and I'm sure they'll be talking about this. So TJ and I talked Wednesday night. All this stuff happened today, so kind of just keep that in mind as you're listening to the interview. After this, we'll do a quick change, and I want to give you the segment that I did for Wrestling Observer Live Thursday afternoon. I called in and kind of just gave an update on everything that was happening because Mike Sempervivi, who was hosting the show solo, had no idea any of this was going on because he was so immersed in the pro wrestling stuff, obviously, with WrestleMania week. So you'll be getting a little bit of everything. You'll be getting a really good interview with TJ that we did last night, and you'll be getting a little bit of me today, kind of updating you on Connor stuff if you have not heard that. So kind of keep that in mind. Wild day, and yeah, crazy, crazy shit. So let's get right to it. TJ DeSantis of Between Rounds Radio talking about UFC 223 and his new endeavor. And then me after that. Enjoy. Well, even though we're in the throes of WrestleMania week here at WrestlingObserver.com, we still have a little bit of time to talk about UFC, specifically UFC 223 coming up on Saturday night from Brooklyn, New York, and helping me do it this week is a first-time guest on the show. He is the voice of Invicta Fighting Championships. He is the voice of all types of other different promotions and UFC Fight Pass and Tachi Palace fights and all types of other things, jiu-jitsu competition and so on. And he is also the voice of the new Between Rounds podcast network, I guess you could call it, which is essentially the old Sure Dog Radio. And it has actually having a free week this week, patreon.com/betweenrounds, and helped me to talk about UFC 223 and talk about that in new endeavor as well, is the one and only TJ DeSantis. And TJ, we'll start you out with the really tough questions first. What are your WrestleMania plans?
I produce a podcast called The Lapsed Fan, which talks about professional wrestling when it was much better. And we are doing a pre and post WrestleMania show. So you can find that at patreon.com/thelapsedfan. You can also listen via Mixlr, which is mixlr.com/TJDeSantis. I will not watch the event at all because I really couldn't care less. Like I'm curious what happens with Ronda Rousey, but beyond that, not super interested. And like part of me feels like Triple H is just going to put himself over on Ronda and steal her thunder because that's what he likes to do, I think. So I don't know.
Well, the Laps fans, certainly we are big fans of them here. Jack Encarnacio, a multiple time guest here on the show and someone I've talked to for a lot of hours. So certainly you're in great hands there. And obviously a lot of our subscribers as well, big fans of the Laps fan. I want to kind of start with the Between Rounds Radio because obviously we're a paid content site here at WrestlingObserver.com, and paid content certainly is becoming something that is you know, a bigger part of the media landscape now. People are now more comfortable paying for stuff, especially in this kind of media atmosphere that we're in now, where people want to associate with things they like, listen to things they like, and so on. And obviously there's a good audience with MMA with that. What was kind of the impetus behind starting? And I assume obviously, you know, Sherdog Radio kind of going going out and you guys going out on your own, but starting it and then starting out as essentially a paid content format through Patreon.
Yeah, I mean, I think media is evolving and changing. You know, I started my broadcasting career as an intern at an FM radio station in 1999. And I remember interning with people that had worked in the business for 20, 30 years then, and they had talked about how much radio had changed and the FM format died. I mean, I left essentially a full-time radio gig to do podcasts in my parents' garage for Sherdog. And that was paying me better than being on the FM radio. And, you know, I still do work at Sherdog. I do one or two podcasts a week for them. But you could tell that things were changing there. And in life, you always want to be one step ahead of the change and make sure if there's a tidal wave coming, you're on higher ground. And you mentioned Jack Encarnacio. Jack and I are partners in multiple projects, and Between Rounds Radio is one of them as part of my production company, which Jack helped me out with. And, you know, the idea of Between Rounds was just another avenue if we needed it, if the Sherdog Radio Network was, in fact, going to come to an end, a way for us to monetize the content that we wanted to continue to provide. And Jordan Breen, a longtime Sherdog employee, was let go this last week, and I'm happy to say that, you know, his podcast is able to live at Between Rounds Radio. And after I get off this interview with you, I've got to do a radio show with Jeff Sherwood, who founded Sherdog.com. Basically, to establish Between Rounds is something that I wanted to do because nothing can really last forever, and the writing was on the wall at Sherdog, and I didn't want to stop doing the content that we had done for 12 years. On the Sherdog Radio Network. And, you know, when we got people involved on Between Rounds, it felt weird. It's weird to ask people to pay for content because forever, I mean, going back to my FM radio days, like I work for a network, the network pays me and everything is free. The new media landscape is changing that. And there's nothing better than seeing a new subscriber on your Patreon feed and knowing that someone likes your content or respects your opinion enough to actually pay a couple bucks for it each month. And, it's been overwhelming, the support that we've gotten there. We've been able to launch some new projects. I have some in the pipeline that I think are going to be coming up soon. And it's just, you know, it's the evolving flow of new media, and you got to embrace it. And, you know, it's weird. It's like 50-50 right now, Josh. When I tell people we're doing the same content that used to be free at Sherdog, and now it's behind a paywall, I get one of two reactions. One is, oh, well, I got that for a decade for free. Why would I pay for it now? And the other is, that's so cool you're able to do this despite, you know, the avenue of Sherdog closing up. And, you know, I guess a 50% success rate is pretty good. So patreon.com/between round.
Yeah, I was going to say your minimum is $4. The offer essentially is $4 and more per month. And,
right.
You know, I think this is something I kind of just observe just through normal everyday life. And you know, this having a child and a family, a house, all this stuff. I just find out, I think that there's more ancillary extra income, I guess, that people have that they're willing now to spend a few more bucks. And grand times are tight for everyone. But still, I think in this era now, people are like, if I want to listen to what I want to listen to, and they're willing to kick in $4 or $5 or something like that. It's almost like back in college, like with keg parties, and you know, people like you make the jump maybe from 3 to 5 or something like that. And people are like, maybe too much. There seems to be a nice kind of like sweet spot where people are like, yeah, I want to contribute to this, because the most important thing, and I think you guys realize this, it's all about the personalities. Because we can get hours and hours and hours and hours of MMA content on YouTube or any myriad of podcasts. But if you really like the personalities, you're willing to say, I'm going to give, you know, $4, $10, whatever it is, to support these guys because I like what they're doing. It just makes people feel good. That's what I'm finding anyway.
Right. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have been doing MMA radio or podcasting really since its incarnation, its inception. when I look back at the podcasters that were around when I was doing it, first off, again, podcast wasn't a word. It had not been added to the iTunes music store yet. So we just called it internet radio. But like, as far as like the established formats around back in 2004, when I started my first show at Inside Fighting, it was Ryan Bennett at MMA Weekly. And before him was Eddie Goldman at IATA and No Holds Barred. And things have changed so much since then. And I think one thing that unfortunately has sort of happened with the oversaturation is there are a lot of people doing podcasts, and we have this great opportunity for anyone to, you know, go buy a small setup and share their opinions. And I guess the cream will rise to the top. But when there are 1,000 podcasts out there, it's very hard to listen to them all and decide, oh, I like this person, or I feel like these interviews are the best. And when it comes down to what is going to make a good podcast great, it is the personalities. It is sort of attaching yourself and going through your days with certain people in your ears, and you grow accustomed to sort of figuring out who people are by digesting their content, and you feel attached to them. That's what's really unique, I think, about radio as a whole is I got into broadcasting because I wanted to be a part of people's lives. I wanted to be someone that, you know, helped someone get through a crappy Monday. And I've been able to do that in the MMA space for a very long time. But I like the idea of paying for what you want to receive. I remember when I was like in eighth grade, I was trying to convince my dad to get DirecTV. And I was so confused why I couldn't just buy MTV. Why can't I only get one channel? Why do I get to buy the whole entire package?
Yeah.
Well, now, for the most part, for the content that you want to get from the podcasting sense, you can pay for things. And I like an a la carte world. I have no problem. Like, piracy is an issue. I have no problem paying for things that are sensibly priced and things that I appreciate. And the fact that you can give that money now directly to the content creators, that's a great world. That's a great world that we're living in, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that, and I love the support from people that appreciate the content that we provide.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, so you can follow along, patreon.com/betweenrounds. We'll plug it before the end of the show as well. But I want to move on to some MMA news, and as of tonight, we're recording this on Wednesday night, Dana White saying that basically guaranteeing that Brock Lesnar is going to come back. And I think we kind of knew that, obviously, in the way that the, you know, how the UFC is these days, that they're looking for big stars, and they're looking for, you know, big attractions, fan interest, big money, all this stuff. What do you make of now that we're kind of on the precipice of Brock coming back potentially after Mania? Obviously, you know, he has some time to go with the whole USADA deal and all that stuff, so probably wouldn't be fighting necessarily this year unless they were to do some sort of waiver or anything. But what do you make of Brock coming back? Are you excited? Are you kind of like, meh? Or what do you think?
I mean, it's going to be good for everyone involved, I think, if Brock does come back. You know, obviously, I want him to abide by USADA and go through the proper procedures to get licensing and get back. But, I mean, the UFC is in this position right now when you have to sell pay-per-views. You're only going to be able to really eclipse big numbers, eclipse that million-person buy rate with some stars like Brock Lesnar. Maybe Ronda Rousey's still there, George St. Pierre, Conor McGregor. And beyond that, it's very difficult. You know, John Jones can't seem to stay out of trouble, and really no one else has been able to set themselves apart as huge pay-per-view draws. So Brock coming back, I think, is good for everybody. The downside of Lesnar coming back is, let's be honest, he's a factor in the heavyweight division. I don't want him to come in and derail a surging prospect and then go back to wrestling. Like, if he's going to come back and they're going to give him a fight of consequence, I hope it is a multiple fight deal. I don't know if Brock is going to ever put forth the time in mixed martial arts again to become a UFC heavyweight champion, but I don't want him to kill the momentum of someone that may be, you know, on the verge of a title eliminator and then just go away. That's the only downfall. That's the only negative that I really think about Lesnar coming back, because I think he has the capability of beating anybody on any night. But, you know, if he comes back and defeats someone, you know, again, the likes of Mark Hunt, I don't really know if that's good for business in the long run.
Yeah, I think the big thing is what are his intentions with coming back? Does he simply want to be the, you know, the quote unquote money weight fighter where he just fights, you know, just the big fights, the John Jones types fights, and just the special attraction stuff, is not really care to be kind of one of the boys, so to speak? That's the big thing, is I don't know, to your point, like, you know, say they were to match him up with a guy like Francis Ngannou and you know, Lesnar beats him up or, you know, wrestles him over three rounds, and we kind of see similar to what we did against Miocic. That's not necessarily a good thing long term, and obviously there's ways people can spin it, but I'm curious how they would, you know, obviously they want the name Brock Lesnar, but I think there are, you know, potentially there are some consequences for who they put him up against, and you can't just put him up against, you know, maybe a lower level guy or a no name, because you want some stakes to it. But you're right, with those stakes comes some risk of essentially derailing someone. And yeah, it's kind of interesting, like, to have him back is good, but I don't know how, like, what role they want him back. Plus, I think he's over 40 years old at this point. So, and obviously the heavyweights are a lot older, but yeah, a lot of questions about having him back, but it sounds like it's imminent, no doubt.
That's good for business. So if they can get a paycheck to Lesnar and also pad their own bank account in the process, be good for them. It's good for the longevity of the company, and, you know, it's going through changes. So if Lesnar can come back and provide some nostalgia maybe for the 2009-2010 MMA fans, I think that's good. And I mean, who am I kidding? Brock Lesnar comes back to fight anybody, I'm glued to the television.
Mm-hmm. Yep, ultimately that's why he's coming back, no doubt. This weekend coming up, UFC, a lot of people expected to be glued to the television. Dana White saying that UFC 205 is trending to be higher pay-per-view buy-wise than this weekend, trying to be on the same trend as UFC 205, which is crazy to think about. But there's this Holloway-Khabib fight. Initially, when you hear it, it's kind of like I didn't feel it was real. It's just like, you know, Max Holloway coming back. This ankle injury, this foot injury, coming back early and going against Khabib, which is a dream fight in a lot of ways. But it feels like it's too early. The weight cut stuff, all this. Then you start to think about it. Then you start to think about how does this affect Holloway Ortega down the road. And it's really just a big mess. And the small thing now in the background is that this is the fourth time they try to make Ferguson Khabib, and it doesn't seem like we're ever going to get that. When this whole thing went down on April Fool's Day, of all things, what did you think when you first heard the news, and then kind of what happened after that?
Yeah, I had a friend text me the news, and I didn't believe him. I thought he was playing with me.
Yeah.
But sure enough, I saw the news story. And then I saw the way that Ferguson hurt himself, and I'm like, wait, what? Everybody's in on this bit. Why is everyone trying to pull the wool over my eyes? This can't be real, but obviously it is. It's very disappointing. I like the Holloway and Nurmagomedov fight, but like you said, it feels too soon. Like, I feel Holloway needs to put in a little more work at 145 and try to dispatch Brian Ortega before he moves up to 155. But, you know, he's here now. The fight is going down on Saturday. But the promotion, the buzz, I don't think is as palpable as it would be if they had, 8 to 10 weeks to really promote this thing and get behind it and do some press conferences. Because I think that Max Holloway's personality is one that is incredibly interesting. I think that he is a guy that can continue to build his brand and build himself more of a bit of spotlight with his fighting style. Unfortunately, though, it's 6 days out. It's not the most ideal, but I don't know. If Dana White is right and this pay-per-view is trending well, that's great. But I do a roundtable before every show, and we had David Bixenspan on, who brought up some really interesting points this week about the fact that WrestleMania is on Sunday. And yes, if you have the network, you're not necessarily debating whether or not you're going to put down pay-per-view dollars for the UFC, as opposed to just watching WrestleMania. But you think about the time consumption that it takes to watch WrestleMania on Sunday and the UFC as well. I don't know a lot of people that really consume fights by themselves. And if you don't, odds are you're going to either have a party or go to a party. And if you are a fan of both, are you really going to commit 6 or 7 hours plus on Sunday after a late night of fights on Saturday? I don't think that a mass amount of people will you know, not buy the UFC because WrestleMania is the next day, but I think it could make a bit of an impact. And I don't know. I hope for everyone involved that it doesn't take away pay-per-view dollars, but it is something to sort of take note of. I still don't even know what's happening with the title, though. Like, is this for the quote-unquote undisputed title? Like, what happens to Tony Ferguson? Are we going to have three champions come Sunday morning in the lightweight division? I don't know. I'd like some clarification on that. But at the same time, whatever definitive statement Dana White makes, you know, he's going to change it to give, I think, what the fans want. And I don't know. It seems like if Max Holloway wins, like, you clearly have an interesting fight for Conor McGregor to maybe come back on. Would Habib be a big enough fight for Conor to come back for? And where does Tony Ferguson fit in all of this? It's one of the more puzzling injury replacements because there are so many storylines coming out of this moving forward that my head is it's spinning a bit. But I don't know. I'm excited to see the fight on Saturday for sure.
Yeah. Ultimately, yeah, I think this. I hope it is a good fight. I hope that, you know, for obviously from Khabib's side, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think a lot of people are kind of really, really excited about seeing, following that Barboza, just the blitzkrieg, the dominant performance or Edson Barboza upon his return. I think we're, you know, I think we're excited on that side. I think for Holloway, it's the ankle injury. It's the week of notice. It's all of that. And yeah, it's kind of where we go from here because potentially two divisions could get held up and two of the best right now, you know, featherweight and lightweight, so much fun, so many opportunities there. And it was kind of interesting, you know, to hear Brian Ortega say that he would have done the fight as well and kind of how that would have turned out. And yeah, all types of intrigue. And it really sucks when these injuries happen, especially you mentioned with Ferguson, basically in a parking lot, just happened to turn the wrong way. And then just, I mean, the way he tore his MCL, it just in such a violent fashion, it just makes you think, like, just this fight just does not seem to be ever, it just seems to be destined to not happen.
Right. I mean, truth is stranger than fiction. And for whatever reason, it just seems like the MMA gods do not want to give us Ferguson and Nurmagomedov, but hopefully they get in the cage one day. It'd be one of the weirdest things to ever happen if these guys were to never meet up. But, you know, who knows what will happen? Who knows if Conor McGregor comes back? Who knows what will happen if Max Holloway wins the title? Or I don't even know if Ferguson's going to be champion come Sunday morning. I don't know what this is for, but it's like a soap opera that could go so many different ways. And I'll be consuming it and sort of trying to figure out what Dana White is saying and what it all actually means Saturday night.
Obviously, you'll be previewing this card pretty heavily across all the different podcasts on the on between rounds. But what is one fight that is standing out the most to you, other than the main event? Is it obviously the co-main event? There's a lot of intrigue there. But I guess let's get away from the main event, co-main event. What other fight on this card is really standing out to you that you're really interested in come Saturday night?
I think that this is a really good fight card from top to bottom. I'm curious to see what Anthony Pettis does against Michael Chiesa. Pettis has said some things that lead me to believe that maybe he's not as confident in his abilities as he once was. And if Anthony Pettis goes on to lose two or three straight fights, we could be talking about him being one of the quote unquote biggest busts in UFC history. I'm curious to see how he does there. I love the flyweight division. Brandon Moreno and Ray Borg is a fun fight that I think people should pay attention to. Ally Quinton, Paul Felder, like two really interesting personalities and fun to watch fighters. Like, this is really not a bad card. I'm not being hyperbolic here, but I would pay more money than what they're asking for if I were to pay on a fight-per-fight basis because I'm curious. I mean, Felice Herrigan, Karolina Kovalkiewicz, like, this is a really good fight card from top to bottom, and it's hard for me to pick one, but I'm obviously not talking about the co-main event because you told me not to. But that's what I would pick because the storyline here, I mean, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, when she fought Rose Namajunas the first time, she closed it as a minus 800 favorite. She's going to walk into the octagon on Saturday night, probably around a minus 135 favorite after being stopped and coming into this fight as the challenger. So I'm curious to see what happens there. If we get a close fight and Joanna Jędrzejczyk takes a decision, are we going to see an immediate rubber match? Is Rose Namajunas capable of doing what she did in the first fight? Like, there are a lot of questions in that co-main that, honestly, going back to my question on whether or not this is the interim title or the real title between Max Holloway and Khabib, if it is the interim title, I know this doesn't make money from a marketing standpoint, but you want Ian Jacek and Rose Namajunas fighting for the undisputed strawweight championship of the world. That should be the main event if this is, in fact, an interim title and Conor McGregor will remain champion following Saturday. I would put the ladies in the spotlight.
Do we see Conor at cage side on Saturday?
I have no idea. Like, yeah. This man can do whatever he wants to. You might see him fight Artem Lobov or be there for Artem Lobov's fight, but will he stick around until the end? I don't know. He might go to some posh steakhouse and tweet about how he's wearing whatever designer clothes he is and he's got a cigar in his hand and he loves steak or something. I have no idea. I hope so. I hope we get some clarity on what he's going to do going forward, but really, I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
I don't think he will just because I think I said this a couple weeks ago. I don't think he just wants to be seen as one of the crew and being there like the other fighters at cage side and all that. I think he wants to give off that perception that you have to come get me. Come.
Right.
I'm not going to sit in front of you and be part of the circus, so to speak. I'm going to be on my throne up in the castle, the Iron Throne, all the, you know, you're going to have to come get me and make me interested to come down off the mountain
right.
and fight this. I just can't see it, but there's the Lobov thing. I think he isn't really saying much about whether he's going to be there because he wants to kind of keep the intrigue up, but I just can't see him. It'd be great if he was. I just can't see him doing it, given his personality.
I mean, I could see him in town, you know, in case the UFC wants to come with a Brinks truck to get him to come back. But it might be an interesting power play if he were in the city that night but not at the venue. And I won't put it past him to do that.
A couple more minutes left. I want to get a couple quick thoughts on some fights throughout the rest of the month because this is obviously with Condit Brown falling through, that's a tragedy. But there are also a lot of interesting fights coming up in the week after. Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje coming up on April 14th in Arizona. And then the week after, you have Edson Barbosa versus the returning Kevin Lee. Also, Frank Edgar versus Cub Swanson, too. Of some fights coming up the rest of the month, what's piqued your interest the most?
I'm surprised that Frankie Edgar is having as quick of a turnaround as he is. We see this in mixed martial arts where a fighter loses a fight and all of a sudden they want to get back in there very quickly and sometimes it doesn't go their way. Cub Swanson's a very tough guy and I hope Frankie's not rushing back too quickly, but we'll see what happens. Poirier and Gaethje, like, I'm so excited for that. Like, again, I don't want to sound like I'm beating the UFC's drum too much, but that's a pay-per-view fight. Granted, it's on free television, but that truly is a fight that could deliver so many outcomes. Super excited for that. I feel like the UFC a little bit has been on this not necessarily a decline, but we've started to sort of lose the passion and fire because of the amount of offerings from the UFC. And when you do as many shows as the UFC does, it's hard to keep intrigue up with main events, especially when you have main events that fall through. And I think that as fight fans, we have to look at these cards through a different sort of lens. And you have to sort of fall in love with the characters that make up the middle of the card and sort of pay attention to certain fighters that are making a buzz and a splash around themselves, even if it's not getting promoted in the brightest of lights, because that's where you're going to find the mid-card guys of today turning into the mainstream main event stars of tomorrow. And I really feel like if you want to have that fire that maybe you once had towards mixed martial arts, you got to make sure that you are not necessarily watching everything, but watching the things that you believe matter. And I think that if you can sort of keep that fire and that passion if you pick and choose a little bit more. Gone are the days of watching every event. No one can do that. Not even just every UFC event. Like, there's so much mixed martial arts on any given weekend, even when the UFC is off. And that's one thing that I really value and appreciate about being able to call Invictus shows is there's only six events a year. The storylines, while they're not as highlighted as some of the other promotions, you can really sort of fall in love with the stories of the athletes of Invicta. And obviously I'm looking at it through a different lens. I'm talking to every athlete and trying to figure out who they are and what they're fighting for. But I feel like MMA fans need to do that same sort of thing with the UFC. Just because people say it's not necessarily a great card and maybe the main event isn't as strong as you would like it to be, there are storylines and stories on every single card. And if you do your research, I think you can still have the same love and fire and passion that maybe you had for mixed martial arts, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Very true. I know we're running short on time, and obviously we'll have you back on hopefully this summer at some point to talk more about the progress of between rounds and really just everything else. We didn't even touch really on your broadcasting career and all the great things you're doing there. Before I let you go, though, is your chance. You're talking to an MMA audience and one that is used to paying for content. Go ahead and I want you to plug social media and then also plug the network, why people should subscribe and check it out. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I've broadcasted for 20 years. This is my 20th year in broadcasting. I've done a lot of different things. I think I bring a different approach to podcasts. I think when you listen to my podcast, it's a lot more it's a lot like what you'll hear on the FM dial, and I think that we produce some higher-end content that maybe you can appreciate. And if you can't, I think you'll fall in love with the personalities that we have. And guys like Jordan Breen, Jack Encarnacio, Jeff Sherwood, real big staples in the MMA space. And we do a variety of programming at Between Rounds, and I hope you will check it out. It's $4 a month. We do a show similar to the Lapsed Fan called Collapsed MMA. It's an MMA nostalgic podcast, and it's incredibly long. Maybe too long. Jordan Breen and I went 8 hours on UFC 47 a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, ridiculous. When I saw the time when I uploaded it, I'm like, what the hell am I doing with my life? But people are paying money for it. I appreciate it. Just go check it out. It's free this week. Patreon.com/between rounds. You'll get a round table that breaks down all the action coming up Saturday night from Barclays Center. Immediately after the event, Beaten After the Bell is live with myself and Jordan Breen. We take listener calls, react to everything that is breaking down. We'll probably talk about whatever Dana White says and whether or not we should believe him and what the UFC is going to do going forward. It's exciting stuff. Patreon.com/between rounds. Follow me on social media at TJ DeSantis. I talk about other things I do like Invict FC and the Eddie Bravo Invitational and other podcasts. Bruce Buffer's podcast I do. Tyron Woodley's podcast I do. I don't know. A lot of things at TJ DeSantis on Twitter.
And Dad Podcast too. Don't forget that.
Oh, the Dad Pod. Yeah.
We'll save those stories for another time. TJ DeSantis, thanks so much.
I appreciate it, Josh. Thank you.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Dancing Queen, this is like if anybody ever saw the movie Dirty Work with Norm MacDonald and Chris Farley, they're at the bar and they hit the jukebox and it's like, all right, we need some fighting music, A3, whatever the hell it was, Street Fighting Man. And then like if you like Pina Coladas comes on, like that's what I was thinking. I get hit with all this news of Conor McGregor and a warrant out for his arrest and him going buck wild. And I thought we were going to have some banging music coming back, but no, it's ABBA's Dancing Queen. But since I've been all tied up here and I am in shock and awe, I needed Josh Nason to come in and let me know what the 411 was going on. Josh, are you there?
I'm here, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. What's up? Because well, I saw a tweet early on this morning from Conor McGregor, and I kind of laughed it off, said, is this guy still here? I guess maybe he saw that and got upset and wanted everybody to know he was still here.
Yeah, so what do you know, or what have you talked about so far?
I have not talked. I've been talking about, like, the excitement of pro wrestling so far, so I have not touched this at all.
All right, so let me riff here for a minute. So earlier today, UFC 223 Media Day happening at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Pretty, you know, usual humdrum affair as they were. And as the fighters were leaving to get on the van to be transported back to their hotels, Conor McGregor and a rather large crew and entourage showed up backstage. And it's unclear at this point what started this altercation, but there were some words said back and forth between some of the fighters and Conor McGregor's crew. A bike rack was thrown, and that was kind of the minor point of what happened. Guys were getting into the van, and
an entire bike rack was thrown.
Yeah, like a bike rack, and that footage is out there. Felice Herrig was a fighter, posted that on her Instagram. That's the minor point, though. So fighters were getting into the van, and a chair was thrown at the van or through the van window, which struck Michael Chiesa. Michael Chiesa is a lightweight who is fighting on the main card of the pay-per-view on Saturday night against Anthony Pettis. He suffered a laceration. It is unclear at this point whether or not he is out for the fight on Saturday. And there is apparently he's at the local medical facility getting treatment for that. That obviously is not good. But then the van supposedly, I guess, had Khabib Nurmagomedov. So there could have been something going on there. So the other thing kind of just developed over the last 10 minutes was that Dana White was talking to reporters. He was called back to the arena, obviously. And he told reporters that the incident, quote unquote, was the most despicable thing in UFC history, and that a warrant is out for McGregor's arrest, and that he is unable to leave the city via his plane. And Brett Okamoto of ESPN asked Dana White, do you still want to be in the McGregor business? And his reply simply was, would you? And that's where it stands right now. Apparently some of I'm just kind of reading some other reports. Mac Life, which is McGregor's website, is kind of bjpenn.com, Mask Media site.
Mac Life!
They apparently let Connor into the arena. Is there a credentialed media? Mac Life, which is that. So his writers were there as credentialed media, and they apparently let the McGregor crew in, which helped kind of start this whole thing. So as we stand right now at 3:30 Eastern, there's a warrant out for the most popular fighter in the UFC and possibly the most popular and well-known fighter in the world. He cannot leave New York, and the chase is on, and that's where we stand at this WrestleMania weekend. What a kickoff.
Oh, my. Well, you know what? Sometimes this is what happens when the chickens come home to roost. This is a monster that was created. This was a monster that we all saw being created. And this was a monster that many people have been feeding. And Conor McGregor, like a petulant kid, like a rambunctious kid, doesn't know when to rein it in sometimes. And this is a great, great example of it. And, I mean, look, with all of this said about how despicable this is, how trashy it is, and the whole nine yards, I mean, stole the fight game. You know, somebody, Tape Machines on Twitter, said, call me when Connor dropkicks somebody off the car like Larry Holmes. It's not like we have not seen this level of ridiculousness between crews and between people and just from individual fighters happen. Obviously, this is just knee-jerk right now, but short-term, long-term right now, in your mind?
Short-term, long-term, as far as the repercussions
go? As far as how this thing is played, reaction coming out, and basically, is this going to end with a fight at the end or somebody in court?
Well, good question. So it really depends on what the New York Police Department is going to charge McGregor with, if anything. And obviously, if charges are filed from Michael Chiesa, lawsuit potential, you know, if he's out of the fight, I mean, that's obviously not very good for – yeah, it's a big income loss. And again, depending on how long he could be out, it's not a case of, you know, maybe that fight could be on next weekend and all those type of things, depending on how bad this cut is. Obviously, there's the PR aspect of it, which for those inside the bubble, we get this stuff. It's kind of fun to watch and fun to see happen and so on. But, you know, this is a much different UFC than it was 5 years ago when it wasn't owned by a probably soon to be publicly traded company. So I think there's those aspects as well to take in the equation, as well as all the stuff that we don't hear behind the scenes that go on with these negotiations with Conor. And perhaps the UFC is just exhausted of dealing with this. Obviously, the question is, okay, where would Conor McGregor go after that? If he was to be obviously outright released, Bellator would sweep him up in half a New York minute. But, you know, it's just there's something. Does he want to be associated with that brand? And, I mean, you're dealing with a guy.
For him. That's what I wonder how we get barnstorming Conor McGregor. At best, at worst, we get out of control club scene Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, we tend to forget, and I don't see, it's just funny to say this, is I mean, he just made $100 million+ on one night, just, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever it was. He doesn't have to work ever again. He didn't have to work ever again before that fight. So it's You know, and also this guy's a new dad. It's just it's very strange behavior. But look, pro athletes that make big time money, and especially this type of money for the very first time, and we see it as an entertainment across, you know, musicians, actors, all this stuff.
And definitely fighters.
And fighters, there's people go this way, there's people go this way, and there's people go way off that way. And I'm seeing right now that, not a big deal, but Artem Lobov, who is a McGregor teammate who was fighting on the undercard, is now off of UFC 223 instead. So
you're going to see a purging, I would assume, of you. Obviously, if these, you know, bootleg-ass reporters of Connors, whatever these plugs were that let him into the building. I mean, I could see if anybody that's associated with McGregor, at least short term, I mean, you know, it's like DX style. Like, somebody's going to have to feel the heat on this, and everybody's going to be Triple H, whose name isn't Connor, I assume, when it comes to the UFC. I mean, anybody associated with Connor, I mean, you can't mess with them right now, can you? Especially, and this is another thing, too, and this is like warring factions at like, you know, hip-hop shows. I mean, or old-school UFC events with, like, the Lion's Den mixing it up with somebody else. I mean, you're going to have crews now all the time crossing up. I mean, if you're part of Khabib's crew and you're part of Connor's crew or associated that way, I mean, I don't see these tensions not, you know, dying down at any point anytime soon.
Right, and that's obviously a major factor as well. I mean, if you think of this last less than 24 hours of UFC, Dana White saying Brock Lesnar's definitely returning. There's a pro wrestling angle there. CM Punk lost in this whole mix. Is his fight for Chicago is confirmed against Mike Jackson. So that is a go as well. And then this Connor news as well. But, yeah, I mean, they tried to get out of this era of you know, the early days of UFC and MMA, and even with Lucha Libre and so on. We had these warring factions, and it became just basically, I don't want to say gang warfare, but you kind of get the idea. It was unruly, and now
it was crazy. That the Lion's Den was out there. I remember it so clearly that, like, Miguel Perez and the Barriquas attacked them. Then DOA got in there. It was a mess.
Yeah, and
I might be conflating there.
Yeah, I mean, this is, this is so interesting. I mean, we thought, is McGregor going to fight the winner of Khabib and Holloway coming off of this? I don't know. And, of course, you know, we all know what happens is your stars get treated differently and perhaps something changes. I mean, this is a guy that jumped the cage in a Bellator promotion last year and supposedly got booted off the end of year December event, which no one believes that one bit. So, I mean, who knows? This could be a case of things are resolved in a couple months and, you know, we have to deal with this stuff all over again and people asking questions. But ultimately, at the end of the day, people are still going to want to pay to see McGregor fight, and his fans are going to be more emboldened than ever, and his detractors are going to be more emboldened than ever. It's kind of like politics in this country, right?
That is true, and he is definitely emboldened, and, you know, he's been hopefully he gets a noble spirit to embiggen him along the way as well and try to fix some of this stuff for his own good. And, you know, we're pushing up against it right now. But, I mean, and I was like a lot of this I was going to say till Saturday, but I got to throw it out and ask you. I mean, if nothing else, this is going to help Max Holloway because he's the only one who's, you know, there's no pressure on him at all. I mean, it's not like this is really going to help him a lot, but anything else that chinks Khabib's armor right now, I mean, it's got to help, right?
I think Khabib is pretty much unfazed by this. That guy is a machine. If anything, depending on what was said to him, he could be more emboldened to go in there and do his thing. I think he could be.
That's true. I don't think I'd want to piss him off anymore.
No, I wouldn't. I think he's going to be the big winner at this whole thing. Come Sunday morning, I think we're going to be talking a lot about Khabib and how he's the next guy. Probably maybe not the next superstar, but he's the guy that people are going to be like, that's my guy.
Hey, Josh, we got to do this again in the next couple of days because I don't know if you've heard or not. There are some shows that are taking place.
My God, what a great segue. On our website right now, you can find out all this news about Conor McGregor and all this other stuff going on, as well as a full live streaming guide to every single event you can watch on the internet for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to WrestlingObserver.com right now and check that out and enjoy all the action coming up these next 4 days. And maybe I'll be back to talk to you, Mike. How about that? All right, big thanks to all you guys for stopping by. Big thanks to TJ DeSantis, and clearly they'll be talking about this and all kinds of other stuff on Between Rounds Radio.
all throughout the week as far as their free week. So if you happen to check them out, and I guess you heard them on the show, certainly let them know. I appreciate that, and I know they will as well. Let's see. As of right now, again, 4:15 Eastern on Thursday. Not much else known on the Connor situation that isn't out there already. That wasn't in the post or much of what I talked about. Again, we really don't know if the warrant for his arrest is accurate or not. I'll do a quick Twitter check as we do this. But Artem Lobov is off the show, and we don't know about the update with Michael Chiesa. Rose Namajunas, I guess, was pretty shaken up, so we don't know. I assume she's going to fight tomorrow, but that's a whole story as well. So this is pretty crazy stuff. This is pretty wild. Didn't expect this on a Thursday, but again, with Conor McGregor, you never really know. Maybe you should have expecting it. Let's see. I think that's about it. So we'll let you go. Obviously, be a lot of coverage between this, and of course, all the wrestling going on, blood sport happening, and all types of other shows as well. You can get a full streaming guide available on our website right now with direct links to where you can watch these different shows throughout the entire weekend. So enjoy that. Check that out as well. And we have about 28 straight days of Wrestling Observer Radio. All types of other stuff is going on. And then tomorrow, being Friday, a very special edition of the show, a guest I've been hoping to get for quite some time. And I won't spoil it for you, but let's just say if you're into sports media, I think you're going to like who I'm talking to on Friday. So without further ado, I'll let you go. Without further ado, it's been a crazy afternoon. Forgive me. This has been Josh Nason's Punch Out. And until next time, which will be Friday, insert catchphrase here. And watch out for chairs and buses.